We've invested nearly $40 billion in infrastructure and technology to extend our network. And about one third of that has been in rural areas. And that's what we're, I think, really, really proud of. When there are other people, upgrading in more urban areas and overbuilding areas, we already provide service in. We're really focused right now on getting service out to the unserved areas. And we are, at the same time, evolving our network, and you're going to see some exciting things coming for our existing customers as well in the near future. So, here's a map of Charter in Wisconsin. And can you hear me okay? Is it still working?
Yes, we were able to turn you up here, so we're good
Good.
now.
Okay. We have over 3,500 employees in Wisconsin, 1.5 million customers in 64 counties with 911 communities. And I can tell you that number of communities is growing every month as we expand our RDOF, which we're going to get into. We have a local tax contribution of $113 million and $537 million in capital investment in 2022. And that $113 million in tax contribution is in 2022 as well. So while we are the second largest cable company, we're a Fortune 100 company, we are very low. We consider ourselves very local because of all the employees that we have in Wisconsin. And Celeste works at the building she's in downtown Milwaukee is our one of our call centers. We have a call center in Fond du Lac. We have a call center in Appleton. We have a field ops center in Madison that is for a region, a multi-state region. So we have a lot of high-level employees here in the Wisconsin area. And you can see from that map, the dark blue represents our service territory currently. The light blue is just the counties that we serve. So the only counties we don't serve are really primarily in far western Wisconsin. And that little one at the bottom, Lafayette, will be served by RDOF, which I'm going to talk a little bit about RDOF. But here we go. This is probably the meat of what you want to hear about. Here is the grant application area. And it looks like we've got six different, and I'll just, for this purpose, I'll just call them zones. And right now, and there's a little, and I'm not sure if how well you can see the screen, but within that screen, we've got service dates. And these are fluid and estimates, but right now, zone one is this month. People in that zone should be able to begin getting service, going to be in our biller and activated to get service. And then September, just south of that, you've got zone two. It looks like November, zone three, up in zone four, the blue zone in the northeast, that zone is going to be December. And then five and six are going to be in the 2024, because unfortunately it's very difficult to build through the winter. We still do build through the winter, but it's quite a bit challenging. So it takes more time, and it all depends. There's multiple factors, but to be conservative, I think we're shooting right there for March and June of 2024 to have this project complete. And I guess now, I don't know if you have questions. I know I can't see the room. So I know this is something you guys, your team, or not your team, the committee cares greatly about in the public. I guess I'd open it up to any questions that you might have about this right now before I go further, while we still have this on the screen.
If anyone has any questions for them, if you would please activate your mic so that they can hear you. Adam, I'm sorry, we do have a mic.
Yeah, I have a question regarding your existing coverage versus this overlay. Do you have any map coming up that might show us the total coverage with these included?
Adam, while you're going through the deck, I can open a KMZ. And we can do that at the end if you'd like.
Okay. Actually, I might have that
We'll
too,
talk about it.
Celeste.
I mean, I'll try and open it up to show you where we serve today, and then I'll overlay the grant area, and we'll see if that is what you want to look at.
Thanks, Celeste. I might be able to do that too. I might have the same KMZ. It's going to take a while. Those are big files to open. We can certainly do that.
Okay, maybe subsequently we can get that just so we don't delay the presentation here.
Yeah, it takes a while. It's been opening while I've been talking. So it's a huge, massive file, these Google Earth files that we have. So are there any other questions?
Adam, I'm not seeing anyone else indicating, so you can go ahead. Thank you.
Sure, and then we'll come back to that if that's okay. All right. For the next slide here talks about our proven track record. We have been participating with the Wisconsin State Public Service Commission's broadband grant program since it began. We've received 23 broadband grants, and 14 of those projects have been completed. All of our projects have been completed on time, and I'd say not only on time, but early, many of them. Because we do a lot, so we don't want to push it up to the deadline. So either on time or early, but a lot of time early. We've built approximately almost 12,000 unserved and underserved locations through the grant program since 2014. We've committed $31 million to the grant projects, and we've gotten $2.6 million from local partners such as counties, towns, even individuals who have contributed towards our applications. I think that the Public Service Commission has historically demonstrated that they like to see some type of a local commitment from the local entity. It doesn't have to be a lot, but they like to see something. So we've been able to secure $2.6 million. And these are just the ones that we've won. We've had other ones that we've lost where, you know, we had one county commit $1 million and we didn't get it. These are just the ones that we won. Charter's been awarded $13.5 million in grant funding from the state. We have 7 remaining grants that are going to be completed by the end of 2024. And obviously this is one of them. So that's another example of, you know, we want to have this project completed by, hopefully June of 2024, which is well before the deadline. We have 2 projects that were just awarded in the most recent grant round that will be completed by the end of 2025. And this is just a listing of some of the different various grants that we've won. And they're not all grants in terms of through the state grant program. We had a CARES Act effort we went into during COVID with the Menominee Tribe, where they used their CARES Act dollars and we were able to build out fiber to the home to portions of the Menominee Tribe. And I'm sure you're probably familiar with Menominee. I believe it's technically the poorest county in the state of Wisconsin. So we're very proud we were able to partner with them, work with them, and deliver broadband to that impoverished county through the CARES Act money that was received during COVID. And then here is just some more of the recent grant awards that we've received. You can see Kenosha is on here with a 918. Racine County has 2,000. These are all fiber to the home builds. You will see the other ones because, you know, we started going to fiber to the home on these builds typically during the around the time of the pandemic. You'll see some of these are our hybrid fiber coax. Previously, those are our traditional, what you call traditional cable. Everything we're doing right now grant wise is fiber to the home. I would say that there are 2 grants missing from this deck, and those are the ones that were awarded this spring. Mantuish Waters, we received a grant, and then again there were some homes in Menominee that were not completed yet. So we had a very small grant to do, I believe, 57 homes in Menominee. So I'm going to talk a little bit about RDOF here, and we're just going to do that because RDOF is a Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. This is a pre-COVID program that Charter was participating in. I believe it was $20 billion, and there's 2 rounds. It's federal money. The first round was $10 billion, and it's a reverse auction. So like when we go out for a grant application in Wisconsin, we typically find areas, we'll work with counties and towns to figure out, hey, where are we going to apply? The federal government used FCC mapping data and said, these are the areas that are eligible, and it was an auction, and whoever bid the lowest to serve an area won a subsidy to do so. So Wisconsin Charter was one of the biggest RDOF winners in the country. And Wisconsin was the largest RDOF state for charter when it comes to number of passings. So we have a $668 million capital investment we're undergoing right now. We received $168 million from the federal government, and we're putting in $500 million of our own private capital for the $668 million to deliver fiber to the home across Wisconsin to 140,000 new locations, which is pretty incredible number. So I know there's a lot of talk about BEAD money coming. A lot of the, you know, the BEAD is going on. We're also completing our RDOF build, and Celeste has been very instrumental in that from a government affairs portion. So I would say that in that build that we're doing, the 140,000 locations, it requires more than 15,000 miles of fiber to the home construction, which, if you remember that map that I showed you, it's 42% of our existing network. You know, a lot of our network is in areas like Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, Madison, Appleton. That's very dense, and there aren't as many network miles there. So it just shows you that the building those 140,000 locations is going to expand our fiber network by 42%. And this gives you an idea here, this map. The dark blue is our existing plant, and the aqua color is where we're doing our fiber. And unfortunately, there isn't a lot of Kenosha, and you can kind of see Kenosha's got this just kind of hole, right, like a donut hole right here, and this is the area that we are working on in our grant right now. So our current network infrastructure is almost 37,000 miles. So we're adding 15,000, as I just said earlier. When it comes to our speed for the build that we're doing in the town of Paris, it's going to be 1,000 by 1,000 fiber to the home. Our minimum starting speed is 300 megabits. So right now it's 300 by 10. It'll be a couple years, but I think I would envision that will likely be a symmetrical offering. It's not right now, but it will be. It's capable of, while it's 1,000 by 1,000, this network is capable of much more. And I think the important thing about Charter is that in addition to all the other things that we offer, like the video, the phone, the mobile, we have no modem fees, no contracts, and no data caps. I think that makes us somewhat unique as well from other providers. And here's just a price table as of 6/16, so back in June. And this is all available on our website, spectrum.com/internet. And it just tells you the pricings and the offerings that we have. We have essentially two low-income offerings, Spectrum Internet Assist. If you have children on free and reduced lunch, you're eligible for that for $19.99. Spectrum Internet 100 is a 100 by 10 service, I believe, and that's $59.99. But there's a promotional rate right now for a number of years for $30. And then if you're eligible for ACP, you can essentially get the Spectrum Internet 100 if you qualify for free. And same for Spectrum Internet Assist would be free as well with the voucher from the ACP program. And then
the voucher, sorry, Adam, you could put towards any of the services. It doesn't have to be, you know, Spectrum Internet Assist or Spectrum Internet 100. You can use that $30 voucher, or, you know, tribes can use the $75 voucher towards any of the internet services that we provide.
I think one of the things I failed to mention earlier, which is on the far right here, where it talks about the professional installation, So when we're building the RDOF and we're building the grant that we're doing in Kenosha County, you're going to pay the same fee, $59.99, to connect as you would as if you were in the city of Kenosha, up to 1,500 feet, which is pretty significant, I think. Under our old coax, it was only a couple hundred feet. But with this fiber, we're allowed to if you have a farm and you've got a long, long driveway and you're within 1,500 feet from the box, and these boxes pedestals are all going to be in the right of way from the pedestal to the home. If it's under 1,500 feet, you're going to pay $15.99 to connect. You're not going to have to pay potentially hundreds or thousands of dollars to connect to build that to the home. And then that's what's happening too when we're building this project. As I said, it's all being done in the right of way. And then so nobody really gets a connection to their home until they call up for service and ask. So we're not going to every home and hooking it up, and then if you call, then we'll activate it. All the work is in the right of way. Then when someone calls and said they want service, then someone will come out and take it to the home. Only then will it go to the home. So we're not disrupting anyone who isn't going to take the service. I kind of touched on this already in terms of helping Wisconsin residents get connected to affordability and digital literacy. We have our Spectrum Internet Assist program, which is also available for seniors on SSI. And that's the $19.99 offering. We have Spectrum Internet 100, which essentially, if you are an ACP, that's the Affordable Connectivity Program, the federal government offers a $30 voucher. It's essentially free internet. There's been a lot of talk about ACP in the media. Hopefully the Congress will extend the program. It's been wildly popular. And in fact, Charter is the largest ISP recipient, or we have the most customers taking ACP of any other ISP in the country, to my knowledge. And then we also have a grant program, a digital grant program, where different entities, nonprofits, can apply for grants. And we often give those out in Wisconsin. So we would encourage organizations in Kenosha County, in Kenosha, we do a lot of, Chromebooks and training and things like that with those. Or we give grants to entities that do things like that, or have programs to train people how to use it. Here's just a cautionary statement that we always have to do because we are a publicly traded company, and then questions. And then I don't know if Celeste, if you want to take over, if you have that map, or if you want me to try and find it.
I have it.
Okay, so I'm going to stop sharing, and Celeste is going to bring up the our existing plant with the grant application.
Does anyone have any questions? I will share this. Let me know if you can see it.
Yes, see it. Thank you.
So this is the grant area, and everything in red is our existing service in the county. So I'm going to just turn it off so that you can see. So the grant area is this, and then our existing service area is here.
So as you know, and some of these areas may or may not be eligible for a grant. Maybe there's another provider there, a DSL provider, providing service, or Ethoplex or someone providing. But if there are still unserved, underserved areas of the county, we would love to have a conversation with you about the next grant round, which opens up on Monday. I know I've talked, I'm sure many people have tried to find out what the parameters of the grant program are. I think it's going to be 100 by 20, but we don't know all the rules yet. But if there are any gaps out here, and one of the reasons we were really proud about this Kenosha County grant was, I don't believe this is probably the first grant the Kenosha County's ever received. So we thought that we'd have a strong chance for that reason. So we'd love to potentially partner with the county again to just kind of fill in the rest of the gaps once we've identified areas that are still unserved, so we can get everybody in Kenosha County served. That's the goal. Everyone in the state. That's really the goal of the upcoming BEAD program as well.
So just quickly to summarize, is one is we want to assure you this build that we're building, the state grant, it is a fiber to the home build. And you will have symmetrical services when customers are brought online. They will have the ability to sign up for symmetrical service. In addition, one of the, I think the biggest benefit is that we're not just bringing broadband. The customers will have access to all the services we currently offer. So it's our video service, which we are going to be announcing a new platform for video service that we are launching by the end of the year. The other thing is our mobile service will also be available, which is probably our fastest growing service today. It's amazing. We are the fastest growing mobile service provider in the country, it allows our customers to save, everyone spends money on internet, video and mobile service. And by subscribing to Spectrum's mobile service, I think families are able to kind of lower their bills, which of course in today's world is very helpful. So while we have, low income or affordable broadband packages, middle income families are also able to save dollars by subscribing to our mobile service. So, and then of course, Adam mentioned Spectrum News. So it's not just broadband service, but it's a whole host of other services that customers can subscribe to if they wish, when you have a Spectrum, when you have Spectrum services.
Adam, I had a question for what type of information would you be looking for to identify areas? We have some isolated, I'm going to call them rural subdivisions in the village of Summers and in the village of Bristol that were not eligible to be included in the grants previously. But we're looking for ways to pick up those areas. Would we submit GIS maps, identifying those areas, or how would you like to receive information? And then specifically, who would we send the information to?
So I would defer to Celeste, but I think the best answer, if you have addresses you think that are not serviced, I would say an address list would probably be the best thing that we could take, and then we would take it to our design team and they would check it. Once we know what the eligibility rules are, Wisconsin has these weird rules that if you had two providers providing 25x3, an area is not eligible. But now I think it's going to be 100x20, so maybe this area would be. We're just not going to know the rules until next Monday. So I would think if you have address lists of areas that you think would be eligible and would you like to pursue a grant with, that would be the most helpful, don't you think, Celeste, Terry?
Yep. An address list of the locations you believe don't have service or, don't have access to service. And then also please include a map so that, our design team can take a look at the entire area. The other thing,
have a go to RT, any one of the three of us, when you have our emails, I believe you get it to us and then we would share it internally.
Yeah, the other thing that I think, we've noticed with successful grant applications is that, your input is really important in these applications. And so I urge you that you should start working on not just the areas or the locations you would like us to look at, but also you know, in order to make the application as strong as possible, the one thing that they're looking, that the PSC looks for is, you know, letters of support, anecdotal information as to, you know, what economic benefit would, you know, would the area, you know, benefit from, whether it's, you know, being able to do school, you know, to conduct schooling at home, or, you know, telemedicine, or, you know, there's a business that I'm running out of my house. Anecdotal information is what they're looking for. They want to hear the story as to how this grant is going to help your residents within the application. The more the information we can provide in detail about that, I think the more successful the application is. Terry, I think, what else? So other than letters of support, if there are anchor institutions, for instance, you know, libraries, schools, or that are encompassed in the area that doesn't have adequate service, then, you know, those certainly are priorities in these grant rounds. And so, you know, we urge you to take a look at the, you know, the unserved areas of your county. And, you know, we can, if you give us the addresses, we can figure out a way to create a project based on our existing plans. And of course, if we can build off of this grant, this current grant, it would make it the most efficient way, you know, so that we can reduce as much of the cost as possible.
Yeah, and they do look for projects of all different sizes as well. You know, there are smaller projects, larger projects. But this round only has $40 million, which sounds like a lot, but when you cut it up for a lot of different projects, it doesn't actually go that far. So, you know, a smaller project could still be a really good one. It doesn't have to be a big thing.
And that's a really good point, Terry. They really like to spread the projects out. You know, if there's $40 million, they may have 70 winners, and by to have 70 winners, they might have some $2-4 million projects, but they might have some projects that are only like $400,000 or $500,000. So, I mean, if you look at the map, you know, I think there's opportunity here for some good project, you know, good potential for applications in Kenosha County, and we'd love to work with you on that if possible.
They do like to see involvement too from the county, and if you know, any, you don't have to give dollars toward it, but anything that you can give, they do like to see that as well, just so that there's a good, you know, they see that people are really invested in this from both sides.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I noticed that the town of Brighton has nothing. As a resident of Brighton, we don't have any broadband. Is there any hope for us?
Well, when you say you don't have anything in Brighton, you mean anything from Charter, or you don't
we have anything? We have nothing from Charter. We have TDS. We do have broadband offered through DSL, but it's not even 3 megabits per second.
Okay. Well, that's certainly an area we could add. I know I heard Village of Summers. Brighton is certainly something we could look at. No, I think.
You said the problem is, did you say you had service from TDS? Is there someone else?
Just TDS. There is Wi-Fi service from other providers, but no cable, no fiber. Fiber goes to the school in Brighton, but that's about it. Even the town hall doesn't have any broadband to speak of other than the Wi-Fi, which is hit or miss.
Without looking at the state broadband map, and I'm going to try and pull it up here, maybe I can. I'm guessing that the state broadband map currently might even say you're served, and the reason it might do that is because you might have two fixed wireless providers that provide 25x3.
But it doesn't provide to everybody if you have trees or if you're in a valley that's the problem.
I get it, and we're actually working to try and change the law. To that on that, to be honest with you.
So are you looking at this whole area right here? Is this part of Brighton?
Everything from 142 through, was that 75? Yeah, primarily the gray area. That's about it. Yes. Thank you, Brian.
This whole area is Brighton?
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't, if you pull up the state map and see what that area is it, who's serving that?
So
nobody. It's kind of a hit or miss. It's a hodgepodge. There's nothing really that I can see that it is dedicated to that.
So you can see, can you see my map now?
I can.
Yeah. So if I click on like here, I mean, I'm not sure this area here. I'm not
that
sure.
That area is us.
That's us.
Right.
But right here, it says just right of where we are. It's an Evergent is doing 45 by 10. And let's see.
Not yeah. by me, he's not.
Adam?
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm not, yeah.
This is Sean Smith. Could I jump in real quick?
Yep. Sure.
So just to talk about the Brighton stuff, the area that you're talking about that it says Evergent is covering, unfortunately, Charter, nobody had control over this information. These were the FCC maps that were developed. And the reality was they were based on census blocks. So like you're talking, there's people that have, you know, trees that didn't have access, but because Evergent did cover some people in the area, at that time, the whole area was counted as covered. And there was just nothing that could be done about it. So when the grant that was awarded to Charter, nothing could be done. We're thrilled to get what we got with the Charter grant. A lot of things have changed. The rules, just like they're talking about, the grant rules are changing. They're waiting to find out exactly who qualifies for what. The FCC maps have been dramatically updated. There's been a lot of opportunity from carriers to update it, the community, and then also the PSC will listen to the information that we as Kenosha County would provide, because we're collecting the speed test data. And that is why that speed test data collection is so critical, because that gives us real information to combat the information that might not be entirely accurate. So that's why we keep telling people we need people to continue doing that. We had the marketing campaigns going, but when you get that data going, that lets like Scott Schutze's team build maps and get addresses that will be able to give to, you know, like Charter to present another proposal and get better coverage. So, I mean, that is why those speed tests, that speed test data is so critical, is it helps us really understand, regardless of what, even the updated maps, which may not be entirely accurate. So just keep that in mind. They had no choice. They covered, because I worked with Charter when they were doing it. We looked at the maps. They covered everything that they could based on what the grant allowed, you know, in that entire area. And unfortunately, they couldn't.
The reason I asked is because that's why I was appointed. Sue Crane, our town chairman, appointed me as an advocate for the town. And she knows how bad Brian, you know how bad it is. The coverage is there. It's just, we're kind of lost. I mean, we don't have many options. Because you want to keep it rural. That's the whole idea of keeping it rural in Brighton. So we're not going to take down the trees.
Right.
That's not going to happen. That means no coverage for the vast majority of them. Like I said, I have a DSL line, but I barely get three.
And that's where your advocacy with your community is going to be. It's not just advocating to these carriers. It's advocating in your community to get the speed test done, to get the real data so that we can, you know, this committee can get that data to the carriers when these new grant opportunities come up. That's going to have the greatest impact for us, is getting real data that we can share with them. Because when you look at a map like that, it doesn't point out there's a small subdivision that's got 10 homes in it, that it was built in 2005. They didn't pull anything in and now they have no coverage. It doesn't know those things. It just covers the whole thing blue.
Okay.
But our maps will be more granular.
So Okay. The way that I would handle this is the same way we want a grant in Manitowish Waters, which is in Vilas County. Most of Manitowish Waters was coming up as not eligible because they claimed to have two providers offering 25 by 3, one being T-Mobile. What we did is So, Adam, I don't know who the provider is right near where it says PH and B in that.
Right around here.
Right around there. But what we did is we had the town chair, we had members of the community just basically write a letter saying, you know, the PSC map is claiming that, you know, Manitowish Waters is served by these providers. And, you know, I can tell you that, T-Mobile is not available here. And that was a fixed wireless service. And we were successful in winning that grant. So it is a matter of either getting members of the, who, you know, members of residents who live in that project area to either, you know, sign a petition or just to give the PSC information. They will accept it. They recognize that there are, you know, that their maps may not be as accurate. I mean, they're only receiving data, you know, and so their maps are based on data they're receiving. And so they recognize that there may be inaccuracies. And so they're willing to take a look at that. And that's where your advocacy helps in making the application stronger.
And also, you know, you're talking here to the government affairs team. We had legislation last year that we had that passed both houses, was vetoed, that would have raised the speed threshold to 100 by 20 for unserved. We're working on that bill again this year because I think there is a preference in that bill for a wired connection versus a fixed wireless connection. Because I think, you know, we recognize the challenges that are faced, that you face. So hopefully that bill passes this fall. It would not affect this grant round, but future grant rounds. And there's a lot of money coming with BEAD, and BEAD is all going to be 100 by 20 as well. And BEAD is going to favor a wired connection. The goal of BEAD is to get to all the areas that don't have 25 by 3 wireline. That is the stated goal of BEAD. So, but we got a grant round coming up soon before that, so we'd like to knock it out first, if we could.
Does anyone else have any questions they'd like to address to the charter group?
Thank you for your presentation. So one question I have is that once the implementation is done, do you do any testing for specific use cases? The use case that I'm thinking about, for example, is an elderly patient in a rural area who wants a telehealth appointment, right? So they may not want to travel unnecessarily to a clinic or a hospital, but just want to make sure that a routine appointment can be served by easily using telehealth, right? So do you do that kind of testing at the use case level for different use cases? And that might guide the consumers on what type of plan. You have very nicely outlined a lot of plans in your presentation that they should choose once these implementations are done.
Testing a use case, I mean, I think, you know, our base speed of 300 by 10 is more than enough to do a televisit. Our 100 by 10 is more than enough. The ACP program is more than enough to do a televisit. I mentioned the facilities we have in Madison here. We have something called the ROC, the Regional Operations Center, and they check for outages and things like that. So we're doing proactive maintenance. So I think we have very extremely high reliability. I think oftentimes if there is a problem where someone may not be getting the speed that they're getting, that speed that may be tied more to a modem issue or a router issue. I know I wasn't getting the speed I was supposed to get at my home because I had my own personal router and modem that I bought at Best Buy and hadn't upgraded it. And I went and got the free one from Spectrum, and now I'm getting, 20% higher than I'm supposed to get. So the speed levels that we are offering should be more than enough to help to allow someone to do the rural telemedicine. Does that answer your question?
That does. I'm just wondering whether you kind of proactively do some of the testing once the implementation is done, right?
So we do. I mean, they're actually running commercials now about our proactive maintenance on our network. I had a friend of mine the other day mentioned to me that they got a text message that there was a problem and that we were fixing it. So we're constantly monitoring the network. And if there is a problem, we're trying to be as proactive as possible. Hopefully there aren't problems. Think about the old days of cable where you had like a 4-hour window for an install. And if someone comes, those install windows are an hour now. I mean, they're not the 4-hour windows anymore. So we're constantly, we live in a competitive environment. And we're constantly, trying to improve the customer experience.
Thank you.
Sure.
We'd like to come out and check your network. And I was a little bit worried, like it was some kind of scam. But he came to my door and fixed a couple of small adjustments, and my speed dramatically increased. That was awesome.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, when they say, well, things are running slow, and it's like, unlike, and I'm not going to talk about other services because I don't know how their services really work, but you should be getting the speeds. Our speeds are the same for all our customers. So if you're not getting the feeds that you're subscribing to, then we need to do a service call, because it's not like, other services where, your distance to their cabinet is affects what level of speed you actually get. If you're subscribing to 100 meg, you should be getting that. If you're subscribing to 300, you should be getting that. And so I urge you that if you're not getting the speed you're subscribing to, that we need to send someone out.
Yep, and oftentimes when people say something to me, I'm like, well, have you called? Because if you call, then maybe they'll send someone out and that'll fix the problem. And then when I had my problem at my home, like I said, I should take my own advice. And what did I do? I called and it was my router and my modem. So I just got a new one and I was good to go.
We appreciate your time here this morning, and you've given us the overview that we were looking for and some specific insights. So thank you for that. And I'm sure that we will be back in touch with you as we develop some target areas, and we'll share those with you. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We look forward to it.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right, very good. Thank you. The we're going to jump back up to item number 3 on our agenda. We do have a quorum here. This now is the minutes were provided from the last meeting. Comment, not that it's a big deal, but on number 1 is at that point I was the actual chairman, not the acting chairman. but other than that, are there any other additions or corrections to the minutes as they were presented? If not, I'd be open to a motion to approve.
Second it.
Motion been made by Mike, second by Randy, to approve the minutes as presented. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. We will then go to the status report on previous committee recommendations. Sean, would you like to speak to that, please?
Yes, thank you. So the 3 parks projects were approved at the last meeting. They're all starting there right now. Each project has a fair number of aspects to it as far as identifying exactly what equipment's going to go where, working out plans with vendors. So that's what's happening right now. They're going through and developing the exact specifications for the project, getting the quotes from the vendors, working through the process. We're developing a project charter that will ultimately take all of those things into account, and we'll work with Matt Collins, the Director of Parks, and Shelley Billingsley, Director of Public Works, to make sure that what we're doing agrees and is in line with what their expectations would be. So after in subsequent meetings, we were planning that you would get an update every month, and we would have either our project manager, our infrastructure manager, one of them would come to this meeting and provide an update to you, or if it's not of significant, there's nothing really major to report, they would maybe provide a report to Joe for to provide to the committee.
Thank you, Sean. This is Brian. Quick comment. I did ask for an update because we made a recommendation. What I wanted to know was, did the exec take that recommendation and implement it? And basically what you said is, yes, she's implemented, and we'll gain a running dialogue that keeps us informed that the project's moving forward, which periodic, okay, that's beneficial, but it's good to know the recommendation was heard, accepted, and we move forward. So thank you.
Sean or Patty, will there be a kind of an Excel spreadsheet being kept someplace of keeping, because this is going to be using some of the grant money, so that we'll know what's been spent and what would still be available?
Our project manager will maintain a project budget tracker that we use, and that'll be maintained regularly throughout the project, yes.
Does anyone have any more questions for Sean or Shelley or Patty? That?
Artie? Yeah, what was the total grant number again? Was that around 900,000 or?
It was 800,000 that the county executive or the county board had appropriated to this committee input. The actual grant was more, but I think it was $800,000 that this committee is supposed to be making recommendations on.
And the total project was around 370,000. Yeah.
Yes, that's approximately.
Yeah, yeah. 380 something, wasn't it?
And that was not to exceed. We always have to, when we're putting together a quote like that, we don't want to later come back and ask for more. So there is some contingency in there, but the team will work to get the best price on everything.
Sorry, Marty, I just looked it up. I should have looked at the minutes from last meeting, 378.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Sean, just refresh my memory. I know you talked about this, but what is the plan for Kemper first, or is it going to work? Are they going to work simultaneously, or what's the kind of timeline for the three projects?
They're going to work simultaneously depending on vendor availability. So Kemper is one that we'll be able to get started sooner because we don't have to have fiber pooled or anything of that nature. So that one's probably going to be able to get started a little bit sooner. Just based on general schedules and things that are going on right now, Silver Lake I would expect to be the one that'll take the longest, mostly because there's a lot of fiber that has to be pulled, and we're going to be working with the DNR to get the approval to go across that area. We don't really anticipate an issue with the DNR, but because of that timing, we're probably figuring that will happen in late or in the spring of next year, that part of it. But the rest of it is all going to be moving forward as vendor availability and our staff can get it done.
Thank you, Sean. We'll move to number six, which was opportunities for additional grants and other funding for broadband projects. Part of being on here is a question of, some other municipalities, they've identified an employee of the county who is specifically supposed to be tracking and looking for all kinds of grant opportunities and whatnot. And I guess my question is, does Kenosha County have such a person? If not, do we need to recommend to the county executive and the county board that somebody have that added to their job description or whether or not we are going to count on vendors identifying grant opportunities and coming to us. You know, like Charter is saying, you know, that they're monitoring all the grants and that they're going to, make proposals to the county to partner with them. I guess I'm not sure who we would ask that question to, Joe.
I guess I would defer to Patty on that because I know that that's not an assignment that I have. Patty, I don't know if somebody in your office does that.
To broadband grants, we watch for grant opportunities, but when they're more specific, like broadband, if I see something, I usually let Sean know. Sean and his department have been the ones who have been looking for those grant opportunities up until now. I don't know that there's formally anyone assigned.
I guess that's part of maybe that's what this committee in part is our role is either to make a recommendation that Kenosha County should consider such or create a central space where you know when if any of us hear of a opportunity that we share it. I don't necessarily want to put it on Sean's position because that's not, you know, looking for funding for IT is not really the role of that position. I'm just concerned that we don't have a focus. So I guess that's something I'm going to continue to look at and see whether or not there's a suggestion that we should make. County board will be starting on the budget process. So if we have any idea on that, we probably need to let you know sooner than later. Yeah.
Thank you. Couple comments around opportunities for additional grant funding and focus. We've had conversation around, in fact, we had the gentleman from Green Bay who came and presented, and he is a direct full-time employee focused on broadband for their county. I have mixed emotions on assigning a full-time headcount to it. These are independent service providers like Spectrum, et cetera. So are we then doing their job for them? And listening this morning, that's kind of the feeling I have is like, well, we're doing your job for you. You don't know where the vacancies are, the deficit areas in the county. I find that interesting. But at the same time, because I find it interesting, we need to help point it out to them, make it clear you're neglecting us as a county. You're providing these voids and we need to fix that. So it's a mixed position. I would think, and I'm going to ask a question to Shelley real quick. As this is like an engineering area, is this something that there's a partial FTE in your department that would give energy to it? I know Sean has been doing it, and that's IT, but it's a combination, engineering and IT. Should we be evaluating to assign somebody as a project leader, a project engineer that then gives some level of oversight to it, or is that an impractical ask?
That definitely is something we can look into. Off the top of my head, I wouldn't know who would have availability to do that project, but I certainly can have some internal discussions around what job areas that we would be looking into, whether it's just grant funding in its entirety or if there's some engineering side of that we need to start encompassing. So I think we're going to have to probably have a larger talk of what that would mean for one of my full-time employees and how much time that effort that would take for their time management.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And to me, it strikes a combination of points. Part of it is grant acquisition and funding. The other part is acquisition of data sets that help us represent to the state and to the commission that we have these deficit areas. So that's the engineering side of it in my mind is how do we identify where those deficits are, which brings me then I'll go to the other point that I wanted to talk about. we do have this money to allocate, should we be considering allocating a portion of it toward, I'll call it marketing, for better, lack of a better way to say it, but we just heard that petitions, letters, direct resident input is important for Brighton to help the state to understand that we're not covered there. Is that an area that we should be looking into and saying, as a marketing attribute of the recommendation from this committee, should we be putting dollars toward acquiring people, getting people to the speed test, getting people out to do surveys, petitions, letters, helping to drive that information awareness campaign to gain the data, but also then to inform the state appropriately? And then who or how do we do that? So, Sean?
I think you make a really great point, Supervisor Bashaw, and because it's not just about getting grants. A position like that would go far beyond it, because you work with the local utilities, the local private organizations that might be willing to help. You know, when you think about Uline or Amazon or some of these places that have put places in, and you know that they're pulling in fiber, if you try and do the outreach, you might find new opportunities to extend what is happening in the community. And it's the marketing, but staying in touch with the UW Extension programs that are going on, that's got a lot to do with business development, working with CABA, working with the local Chamber of Commerce. It's all of these things, but then also working with the school districts. School districts drive, and most of the people that I've talked to, school districts are one of the best drivers for collecting the data, but it's not easy. You know, the west of the eye, school districts are very distributed, and making sure that you get someone who has the time to reach out and make a point of contacting them, keeping everyone updated. So there's a lot more than just grant in this. I don't have any doubt that you could fill 40 hours a week plus with a position like this. And there are alternatives on how it can be done. It doesn't have to be an FTE. There are positions like LTEs that would be a limited time appointment through grant funding that position would expire with the grant funding. And so there are some different opportunities on ways to look at it also.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you're not going to get the work done with, you know, a committee trying to hodgepodge that together. And I think almost every grant has someone to administer that grant, and making that a broader position, I think, would be incredibly wise. I do, you know, I wonder about a full FTE as the efficacy of the, you know, nothing against the gentleman from Green Bay, but they haven't gotten a grant, you know, so you wonder about that as well. But to me, this work is not going to get done unless we have someone doing some of that or organizing it outside of their monthly meetings, et cetera.
I can want to add to that. I think that is a good idea. I don't know, you know, the mechanics of, is it a full-time person? It's almost a limited time position while the grant writing is going on, while you're waiting for the rounds to be awarded. And then once it's implemented, because the end goal is to have everybody up on internet. So once that's completed, there is no need for the role anymore. So it is a short time position. I will say, in working specifically with Paris Township and our grant writing, we were not successful with who we partnered with, but we do have a grant that was awarded to our area, as well as Summers and Brighton, that was awarded to Spectrum. But it is a lot of time, but you do need a champion to coordinate all of what's going on. There's a lot of things going on. And I do think, added to that, this position should also be something that does the outreach. Absolutely need the data, the hard data, to submit back to the PSC when you're doing the grants. Form of not only the speed tests that need to be done, but a list of addresses that aren't served, or if they are served and it's not adequate, why not? You know, who is offering, what ISP is there, what are their speeds? You know, last time we talked about some ideas. So to add to that, as far as the grant driving the data, perhaps we can get a little creative and put some money towards maybe an incentive. What is a percentage of speed tests that we need in the area to have good data to report? Do we put some kind of incentive to, once we get to 15%, then there is a Pets Beer Garden gift card that goes out randomly draw, or something to get people excited about doing the speed test and getting that done, going out to the local Kenosha County fairs, going out to the beer gardens, going out to the schools, all the different places. So it would be I think a full-time position ramping up, and then as things are successful and hopefully everybody's connected, then that position would not have a need anymore to exist.
Are there restrictions on these grant dollars? You know, many grants would have that. Can you have personnel under the guise of this grant? I don't, that would be a question I would have. And then could it be split with county budget and, you know, some grant dollars in order to, you know, I think as a political move that, you know, Kenosha County's moving towards something, but using some of these dollars to supplement that.
I was hoping schools would fund it, but. Margaret, you just used, I think, the most cogent word in the whole thing. It's somebody needs to champion it. When you have a business start up, the owner of that business is so passionate about it, they're going to make it work no matter what, right? So that's kind of the deal here. If it's fragmented, we each touch it every now and then, usually on Thursday morning before we come to the meeting. It doesn't really move. To move the ball, somebody has to champion it, own it, facilitate it, keep the baby alive, so to speak. I think an observation that goes along with that is we do have the fair coming up. If we had a champion behind it, would we have speed test information to hand out? Would we do something differently to take advantage of? And it's just a what-if scenario. To take full advantage of that opportunity in front of you to have several thousand people passing through. So someone needs, it is the best practice to have somebody that would officially own that piece of real estate, champion it, promote it, keep it alive, and help it move forward. Patty, I think, can answer the budget aspect of it. Can we allocate any of this toward a position like that? And yes, we're in the budget cycle, so I'm sure the county will continue investing in broadband because we're so far down the path. So I can't see us walking away.
Just this, don't want to get off track, but to specifically address the county fair question, we do have materials that will be available and distributed at the fair. The county will have a booth there along with the sheriff's department throughout the fair, but we do not have that person who would be solely devoted to having those conversations with people.
Or with the upcoming fair, even to have, wherever everybody passes through, and some people have tickets, some people don't, but somebody there, even at the entrance, to hand that out to really move it forward, because we're stuck with the number of speed tests that we're getting back. So now there needs to be a whole new push, social media, the Kenosha County website, it's there, but it's not prominent. So, all of that.
I just wanted to make sure that the people who aren't facing me, yes, the funds that have been allocated for broadband can be used towards salaries. Obviously, it's a conversation to have whether or not the board is interested in putting any budget funds towards that as well.
For the school people, would it be conceivable to have a time with, I would imagine quite often the students are pestering their parents about wanting better internet and stuff like that. Would it be okay to approach the students with carry home information?
Well, we sent that at the last meeting, actually probably two meetings ago in our monthly meeting. I gave all that information to the school districts before, right at the end of the school year. And so I didn't control if that was sent out. It obviously was at Wheatland. We did also take that next step, which, asking the questions, because we wanted some more, I guess, intricate data on what that looked like. Yeah, you have access. The two questions or three questions. So we asked seven questions to find out what kind of internet access they had in our registration. So the parents have to actually pass through that in order to get, their child registered. I knew that, I may get some pushback on that and some annoyance, but I thought it was worth it, at least for our district, to find out some of that a little bit more, important information, especially in the, you know, the far reaches of our district. So, but yes, that already did happen. And I don't think you'd have any problem taking that home. We did it on like a weekly flyer that we sent, but it's all virtual, you know. The stuff that goes home, I don't know about the effectiveness of, you know, the paper stuff that goes home, whether it makes it home. So, but I think most of the districts are open to that for sure.
Yeah, we're very similar. We have an electronic newsletter that goes out not every Friday in the summertime, but once a month or so, and we've been including it in there. We also have just a thought. I'm not sure, again, because we don't really have that champion, but we do have our annual open house where we have, you know, several different community booths that come because they know that there's going to be, you know, 800 sets of parents in the building, you know, things like, you know, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, just local community, different organizations that come to pass out information and try to, you know, spread the word to parents and, you know, our PTO, our school board, although we'll have a booth there just to kind of spread information. So that's something to think about as well. If, you know, obviously I'll be doing my school administrator stuff, but if there were somebody that would be willing to come and either just hand out a small pamphlet of saying, can you please take the speed test, or here's more information from Kenosha County, we'd be more than willing to have somebody do that during that time as well.
I would be happy to do that, unless I would defer to a committee member if a committee member wanted to be
sure.
There.
I believe it's Tuesday the 29th
okay.
of August, and it's, I think we're from, I'll, you shoot me an email and remind okay. me, but I'll get you the exact times and date on that.
Great.
Well,
same night.
I was going to say all of the local schools here in the next few weeks west of the I are going to have their open houses where the kids come in, you know, before to get, not the high schools necessarily, but all of the elementary schools are all kind of in the next few weeks here doing that.
I just wanted to say that's going to be a little problematic at Brighton School because such a high percentage of their enrollment is open enrollment. And those people don't necessarily live in the area. They can be anywhere.
It's okay. Data,
so their speed tests, tests wouldn't be indicative of what it is in the area. Their speed tests would be wherever they reside.
Correct.
Not in Brighton.
No, but that's just one arm of it. So going after the school, there can be stuff put at the town hall. There can be stuff put on the town website. There can be word of mouth. There can be mailers to the town. So this is just one piece of it. So yeah, understand that open and there's a lot of open and roll out here. So if we get some Kenosha data in there, that's all right.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's fairly skewed in Brighton School.
They might live in Wheatland, or they might live in, you know,
they might be anywhere.
Yeah. Well, so I think it's still valuable information.
Right. But Wheatland, you do have broadband in Wheatland. They have Time Warner there.
Yeah, in certain parts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have nothing.
But we're on the board. I mean, we have a border, you know.
Okay.
I don't even know what road that is. I should. But where we even have some Brighton residents are on our side of the boundary and then some
correct.
Opposite. So
it would just have to be factored in that it's not a true representation of the population of Brighton.
Yeah, understood with open enroll. But I have a general question on the speed test that's done. So they're asking, you know, to go home and do it, obviously not from, you know, a cellular device, but from their home address. For folks that absolutely don't have anything or have a hotspot or not, is there a database? I mean, that speed test is not capturing those people then because they can't do a speed test. Do we have an overall Excel access, something, you know, database that shows people that have nothing? They can't even do a speed test. So I like the push to do a speed test, but are we capturing everybody, or is this whole subset of people that have nothing, you know, not being counted?
On the flyers, there's a phone number they can call and leave messages with the county, and we'll enter the data for them. And because with the speed test, you actually enter that you have no service at a particular address, and then it shows up as a black dot on the map. So we anytime we find out or we know, if a person has a cellular connection, they can fill it out from there and just say they don't have a connection. So it's because the important part of that is it gets the data into the single place for all of it to be collected. So that data does exist in there. There are people who have entered it.
Okay. So, and not to say I'm the end all be all, but maybe that needs to be a little more advertised to say you don't need to have a connection. We need just to see whether you have something or not. Please you know, not do the test because you have nothing.
My turn. All right, two quick comments. One is a question, Sean. Can I do speed tests remotely to my address? Because I put in my address data, it's testing that address location, or is it testing the device that I'm telling it to test from?
The second, it's going to test from wherever the device is at. So you, to get your address tested, you want to test from whatever internet connection you have, be it dial-up or DSL or Evergent or whatever it might be. You want to do it from your house with that connection and not using a VPN, because a lot of people have a VPN to work or a personal VPN. So you want to make sure the VPN is turned off as well.
Okay, thank you. And second part is, I think the discussion continues to illustrate the need for someone that can be a focal point. So then the question is, have we discussed it enough for Shelly and yourself to go back and have a deeper conversation and say, what might that look like? And then perhaps come back to this committee with some thoughts around that? Or do we need to take more concrete action to direct you to do that in some way?
I think it would be best if the committee made a recommendation to investigate it, so that the county executive has a clear indication from the committee that you view it as important and necessary.
Okay. I just spoke, so I can't make a recommendation technically.
I guess from a procedural standpoint, because we don't have that recommendation on the agenda, we really shouldn't make a motion out of discussion.
I'm not sure I agree with that, because it is a committee that's defined around making recommendations. So we have the discussion around opportunities for grants and funding, also information sharing that I believe open up the discussion string.
Mm-hmm.
And then our charter is to make recommendations to the executive for application of resources. So our recommendation would be focused around an investigation of resource type or allocation sufficient to provide direct oversight of the Kenosha County broadband project. So I believe we do have that latitude.
Well, for to allow us to discuss it further, I'd be open if someone wanted to make a motion to make a recommendation to the county executive to identify a focus person.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Can you define?
Oh, what the chairman just said. Do you want to do the verbatim for that?
So it would be a motion to have the executive review and identify a potential strategy to provide a dedicated headcount or a dedicated point person.
Individual.
For oversight of broadband initiative within Kenosha County, something like that.
That sounds good.
Can we modify that to possibly be a partial person? I mean, that makes it sound like it's a full-time job.
Yes.
Yes, with a limited term employment, I guess would be the way to.
Yeah, identify an appropriate headcount, and then it could be whatever format, full, parts, consultant, external. Okay. Sufficient for you guys?
Yeah. Take this back, make sure I have this correct.
And see, you wanted me to do that, you know.
Yeah, it's getting kind of crazy here, but
if you read it back, you get the job, I think, is how it works.
Yeah. Oh boy. So this is a motion by Mr. Marchuk to make a recommendation to the county executive to review and identify a potential strategy to designate an appropriate headcount to provide a dedicated individual for oversight of the county's broadband initiative. Appropriate headcount to provide oversight of. So we'll try this again. Make a recommendation to the county executive to review and identify potential strategy to designate, to define an appropriate headcount to provide oversight of the county's broadband initiative.
That sounds good.
Okay. Seconded by Randy. Okay.
Executive, is there any further discussion on this? If not, open to all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. We're running short on time here. Item number seven, the information sharing by committee members. I don't know if anybody came prepared to share anything. If somebody had something compelling that they wanted to put before us here, we still have a little bit of time here. Anybody had? Otherwise, I would suggest that if you wanted to send an email I guess we'd use Joe as the point person, and then he can put it on for next agenda.
John, on that one really quick, I just wanted to promote our Town of Paris website. There is some information on there about where we're at with our broadband project. We've got two providers that we'll be providing. So if you go to the Town of Paris on the top, you'll see both providers. If you click on the links, it will bring you to a short summary of what's going on and go through the difference between the two providers.
Thank you, Margaret. Anyone else have anything you wanted to share at the moment? Sean, did you are you ready to be public at all, or?
I would love to thank everyone that has joined the broadband committee. I'm leaving Kenosha County, and my last day will be next Friday, but I can't begin to express my appreciation for all of the work that all of you have put in and helped to make and move this forward. It's such an important initiative for Kenosha County in general, and I think you guys are doing some great work with it. So thank you for taking my phone calls and emails when I was trying to get everyone together, and I appreciate everything that you're doing.
Sean, this is kind of mixed. We're glad when people have opportunities, but also it's our job is going to be harder without you. So thank you for the initiative that you've taken. This committee really, in my opinion, got its start with some of your thoughts and actions. And so Kenosha County is better off for you having been there. So thank you. I guess I'm going to skip the focus group thing for this meeting here. The question came on number nine, the frequency of broadband advisory committee meetings. Are people still comfortable having a regular monthly meeting here, or is this eating up people's time too much, and do we want to change the spacing of them at all?
I was just, for the budget timeline, does there need to be more frequent meetings in the short term? Or, I mean, I don't know how your budget works.
Our budget will be informed by the executive team, so we'll be receiving that shortly, and then we'll have all the hearings with committees to go through each aspect of it. So it's ongoing right now. I'm not sure that our frequency here is going to impact the budget, in that our charter has a specific cash of capital that's been allocated toward it for recommendation, and that's not going away. It's allocated, and we'll continue to work off that resource, is my understanding. If the resource pool increases out of this budget, more power to us. We'll do more with it and continue forward. So I don't think it inhibits us at all. I would say that to frequency, maintaining a cadence, I think, is very important. So going to every other month or even a quarterly, I think the cadence is too infrequent for us, because this is a short-term ramp on the front end of it. So at least the monthly, I'm not sure that we gain anything doing more than that at this point, my opinion.
Thank you. I agree.
I'm going to back to one thought. Something that Michael had said here has been kind of bouncing around my head the whole meeting about Brighton having a need that not everybody is aware of and whatnot. And I've wondered whether or not with the literature that we've been doing with the speed test, what would probably help Brighton the most is to have a high participation in the speed test, because then that gives us data that we can show and prove. But the way that we've marketed the speed test has been by basically by asking and putting it out there as to why we want it. But I'm wondering now whether we need to, in light of what we discussed today, change the marketing of it a little bit, Joe, in that show that if people don't participate in it, that everything's going to stay the same.
I think that's a good point. I think it probably has to be a little bit targeted, maybe unfairly, towards Brighton, because Brighton is so rural. They probably get solicitations and just throw in the garbage. They don't even pay attention to it, would be my guess. Unless there's someone who is on the internet continuously or tries to get on the internet continuously, I would imagine it's pretty much ignored. How you would focus that, I'm not quite sure. I mean, Sue maybe would have a better opinion on this than I would, as being the town chairman.
I did make a note for myself earlier on this and hadn't come back to it yet, but Brighton, we have a common point of contact Saturday mornings, and
yes, the dump.
Yep.
But see, I don't go there. I have a pickup service, so that's true in most respects, but not all respects.
Yep. But I think it's the same to Brighton School. If we hit 50% of the residents, that's 50% more than not. So I would think, just like the fair, you have a direct contact outreach. We have a dump or a consolidation point that creates a direct contact outreach opportunity. And taking a couple Saturday mornings to have speed test data and a petition that we can have people sign and say, yes, we need service of some form. And I didn't ask earlier, but what that might be required for the grant support to have a petition along that line. But it doesn't take but 3 hours on a Saturday morning. And I know from politicking there, I can shake 300 hands. So it's a very productive opportunity to have a direct engagement and consolidate the effort and high impact, low cost.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that's a good starting point.
Yep. And might be a way to get something going.
Part of my point was that changing the focus a little bit of not being negative, but letting people know that they have to be part of the solution. Correct. That they can't sit back and expect a committee or the county or a developer to bring it to them. They have to be part of the solution. Correct. And so I think I'd like to change some of our focus or our messaging a little bit, Joe. I did that interview on WGTV the other day and ended up most of what I was talking about was the speed test and trying to, you know, encourage people to take it. But if I would have had this mindset now of you're hurting yourself by not taking it, maybe it would resonate more.
Yeah. And along that line, I think that's what we're all talking about right now, is how to be more direct contact to raise or elevate that messaging. When you're standing in front of somebody talking, it's much more meaningful than something in the mail or something on a website or an encouragement to go somewhere. I'm talking to you and I'm sharing with you what I think about it. So Sue, myself, yourself, others, John, come out there and we'd spend a couple Saturday mornings. I think it becomes very human, and that then matriculates out to their neighbors and friends as well, because we can share a much stronger message. At the fair, we share a stronger message. At the schools, we share a stronger message. If you have somebody that's an enthusiastic advocate.
Would you like me to maybe pull together a little offline meeting with the Brighton contingent here? I'm thinking the two of you and Sue to you know, maybe get some dates on a calendar.
I think that would be a good idea. Yeah,
I will get that going in an email after this.
Thank you, Joe.
Patty?
Do you know how many residents there are in Brighton? I know Paris knows how many households. Do we have a target number for Brighton?
I think it's 871.
Okay, thank you.
I believe, I'm not quite sure, but I think that was the last number that was thrown around. Residents, yeah. Households, I should say. Households. Yes.
Very good. I appreciate everything today. I feel this was a pretty productive a day, at least from my standpoint. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to bring up at this time? If not, appreciate it, and we'll open to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.